Blog Talk Radio.
This is your host, Tamara L., once again coming back with State of the Nationals. Did you miss me? Thank you for tuning in to State of the Nationals with Shea Malachi Bay, a.k.a. Thundercloud. You know, Thundercloud comes from the deity Shango, and he carries a loud voice and carries the truth of the message and the liberation of our people. He will definitely be voicing from the Philadelphia political jurisdiction. Who will discuss the will of the people as the basis of legitimate government? Now, before I bring on my brother Shem, definitely I would like to thank him for further opening my eyes to the remedy and solutions for uplifting fallen humanity. He definitely speaks about things that, you know, as a novice in the understanding of nationality, things I have not heard in the short time period that I've been studying and learning and trying to understand. So, you know, just want to thank the show for that information. Now, before I bring him on, with that being said, I'd like to go ahead and bring him in. I hope he's not having a hard time getting on the line here. Let's see here. Quite a few people in, so I do not see Shem. Let me place you on hold for a moment. Thank you for tuning in. As I said before, I'd like to thank you for being a voice, for first opening our eyes to the remedy and solutions for uplifting fallen humanity. Now, I'm going to go ahead and get started. Let's just first update the listeners by giving some information regarding your background and your relationship to nation building. Because I know we took a little break and we may have some people that's new to the Blog Talk State of the Nationals. So let's just give them a little update about yourself.
Yes. My name is Shem Malachi Bay. I've been dealing with politics, commerce, political science, and up and building infrastructures, government infrastructures, and also we're trying to do restoration to restore to people things that they lost through deception, fraud, and miseducation, indoctrination, and to speak against apartheid and genocide and open, secret, silent wars against the fall of the Moors, the descendants of the Moors, and kinsmanship of the Moors. I've been studying etymology. Abdul pulled me out of the freezer. Professor Abdul pulled me out of the freezer. I was caught up into the system, the box of jurisprudence and the jurisprudence of legal jurisprudence, which is to me is watered down, connotative, abstract meanings and definitions and philosophies and school of thoughts and theory of people opinions of law, which is not law, which is just something fabricated and made up, just to hypnotize, indoctrinate, and capture the minds of men and women where they could not come back to possess their lands, claim their nationality, and remove the wrong status that they would stay under. Jurisprudence, positive law, historic history of our ancestors in dealing with relationship one towards another in foreign nations, and I can go on. So I just leave it like that as of now.
Okay, okay. Now, I know you just recently taught us a juris class at United Rest Club Morocco headquarters, which was a great eye-opener. And one of the things that you speak a lot about is enforcement of a treaty, treaties being the supreme law of the land. It spoke about a lot. Now, tonight, I know you really wanted to get into the topic, is the will of the people as the basis of legitimate government. Now, listeners, I'm going to tell you, get your pen and paper out, because you got to hear some things that's going to open you up. Everything is definitely going to be, could be verified, legitimized. So get your pen and paper and get ready. So let's just start off with giving the listeners, like, what's the international definition of legitimate government as well as a nation?
Well, the meaning, not the distorted meaning, and also not just meaning that's modernized. Whether it's not written etymology, if it's modernized, you're not taking a look back to they call it a prehistoric history that came before you, which government is founded on that world principle, settled law dealing with a property line, a foundation. One cannot dig an excavation and build on water. One cannot build an excavation and build on logs. They have to build on a solid foundation of rock. That's why they call it rock. The earth is a rock. It's land. It's soil. The definition of legitimate government and the people is this. I have to look back to answer this question so I won't get my personal stuff out of the way. The civilization that was first on the earth, Moors, first of the earth, first in time, first of the organic gene, the mat genes without any hybrid mutations or mutations of other genes. These people was given leave to govern among themselves on the land, air, and water, dealing in commerce, political structures, and commercial and industrial industry. Being that they was given the leave by the lords and the hierarchy to govern themselves on the land, they created what you call festivals, traditions, customs, and traditions, and ceremonies. Now, in that is law. In that is codes, regulations, policies, and statutes. Dealing, communicating with one another, and doing bartering and doing exchange through contract. Now, the reason why them ancient people had the right to govern themselves among themselves, what they would do is they would evoke from themselves to put someone in authority. And once they vote for themselves to put that party in authority, then that party becomes liable and obligated to the people as a servant. See, nobody wants to talk about this. You're not a dick. When you voted in, that means they have to be a sovereign that puts you in that place. Now, whether it's the strongest of the house, how we dealt with it in a clan, the strongest of the house sometimes became the pharaoh or the emperor or the empress or the wisdom in the house, because most times women became empress because of the wise and the wisdom they had and the virtue that they had. That's anciently. So that principle is derived from the people. Now, once the people get away from the self-determined, goes into what you call a wrong mode, meaning it's not benefiting the people. That means there's leaders that's rising up that's benefiting the people. Then the cosmos will ordain and inspire through the divinity a ruler or a seer. And the seer will come and straighten the matter out and say, it's not the people. After they elect the person, have to be approved by me to make sure they align with the cosmos so that there will be a famine in the land and a famine in knowledge and wisdom. So the right, you can see, is reserving the people and is backed up by the cosmos.
So that deals with the self-autonomy. Now, you also mentioned about government. If you look at, I know you spoke about the etymology of words. You wanted to stick with that. You wanted to look back. You wanted to exercise the practice of the Sankofa bird, which means to look back. Now, the etymology of nation in its national term, how does that go into relationship with the government, which is the government of the mental, the government of self?
Well, that's the tribes, the people of the land,
mm-hmm.
the clan, the tribes, all the congregations.
So
each
that's the
clan
nation.
And tribe of the country. That's the
yes.
nation. The church is just, the church has just corrupted that. See, the church is not telling the people the truth that a congregation is a nation. Congregate means come together, people who gather together. When you gather together, you're doing what? You come together to do what? Either business, civics. That's the only two things you come together to do, civics or business, and that's wrapped up in government, structure. You come together, people come together to build a structure. Whether if you come together, a group of plumbers, carpenters, and masonries come together, and engineers, they coming together to do something. What is that? Build something, a natural structure. A farmer goes to the earth with seed and tools to do what? To farm. That's a structure. When people come together intellectually to make determinations on how we're going to do intercourse and among ourselves and how we're going to barter and trade among ourselves and how we're going to draw boundaries among ourselves and what is going to be the population and who's going to hear disputes among ourselves if it comes a dispute over land, over a wrong offense, or dealing with transferring of inheritance. Now, that's come. They come together to create. Now, when they come together on law, on land, air, or water, when they come together on land and make any, they have to come together now and create what you call statutes, codes, regulations, and policy. Now, this is carried out by the people coming together collectively and voting, electing a so-and-so party to fulfill this seat, to be obligated and liable to the office capacity that he got to the people dealing with anything on the land. Now, when that happens, that affects the sea now because they can create, they have the political and autonomy jurisdiction over the waters. That's a task that comes around the boundaries of the land. Also, the air, they have boundaries, so everything starts to legitimacy start with the people. Now, let me explain something. If you got people that elected the strongest of the house, let's say emperor, a king, a queen, an empress, which is a pharaoh, which was called a sultan. It was called the sultan was standing in his shoes if he was a pharaoh. Now, the sultans did not create the Moors. The sultans conquered the Moors. Now, let me explain what I mean. When he conquered the Roman states and had agreement to Rome, he claimed to be the direct descendant of Prophet Muhammad, who wrote the Quran, who had inspired the Quran. Now, that's not a blood, he's claiming a blood pedigree of Prophet Muhammad, but he didn't rule, he didn't claim his rulership based on blood pedigree. He based his rulership on doctrination, indoctrinating the people, and then when he did that, based on what he experienced, he claimed he experienced from the cosmos dealing with angelic beings and angels. So you see what's going on here? This is a fundamental fairness of anything coming down with government. It starts with the people. No matter how you look at it, it's not created by one man. It's not created by one house. It's always been a bundle and wrapped up in the people, what they decide, what they determine.
Okay, now, why you mentioned self-determination. Why is self-determination the sole right of the people to form legitimate government?
Well, because the people of the land, when you're on the land and you're dealing with property lines, you're dealing with a state, you're dealing with possession of property, ownership, and loading and title, you're dealing with bartering and trade, trading, and you're dealing with one man or woman's house, all right to their land, their water, and their air, and anything that they come that's in their estate, dealing with precious metals, minerals, livestock, crops. That them people have a right to come together among themselves and create a political structure to govern themselves in the way of commerce, commercial, and industry. And when they come together, the first thing they do is they enter into what you call a treaty. Let me explain what I mean. I want you to say, if they are from different, if they farm, they can live in the same land in one country, but if they're dealing with different political bands and groups, then no political bands and groups collectively as a congregation, as a population dwelling in that province, have a right to self-determine their own fate and liberties that's given to them by the cosmos. So as the other population. So you can see everything derived from the people. The source comes from the people. Just like the water, everything, the source of everything grown is the earth and the sun. And the source of everything getting nutrition, the crops and the flowers, is water. And from that, the animals receive, and us, man and woman, receive the nutrition of the earth. So this is a legislative cycle laid down. This is why this is putting man to the divinity and woman to the divinity to replica what already been laid down, legislated in the earth to produce and to do this every season. This is legislated, therefore, to divinity, this also put in us.
Okay. Now, throughout the rain, you have it's like a mixture, like a bowl. You have the aboriginals, the autochthonous, people of the land that are custodians of the land throughout the entire earth plane. And then you have what will be considered to be foreigners, pilgrims, another name for pilgrims is foreign, colonizers, and things of that nature. Now, can any people of a foreign nationality have the legitimacy of people claiming their Moorish pedigree?
Repeat that again, sister, that last part.
I say, can any people of a foreign national challenge the legitimacy of people claiming Moorish pedigree?
No, they couldn't do it because they're not part of their countrymen or woman. They're not kinsmanship to them. In other words, if you come off a boat, man or woman, from all these nations and coming off a boat, and your crowns, your majesties, and your kings and queens and emperors sign a treaty with a foreign prince or emperor, which allowed them to have relinquished and ceded land. That's not Lodian title. That's not a Lodian title by it. That is that too, they entered into agreement and allowed the other nations to come here and to do commerce, meaning that they use the precious minerals, livestock, and do commerce. And in exchange for that, they will allow them to give them what you call tribute. Now, that foreign, them foreigners that come there, that live there, are not pedigree by the land. I mean, blood pedigree. They're not from that particular geographical location of that land. Neither do they speak the same language. So there's a pedigree difference. There's a language difference. What I mean is that you can be born in a land, and your mother, born in that land, your mother and father separated, your mother moved to another country and become a foreigner and divorce her and marry another man. Now, when you 5 years old, when you go with her, when you come back to the land, you consider as a foreigner, not blood pedigree, through language. So if you can't speak the language, your native language, and you come back to the land, it will be hard for you to claim an inheritance because you couldn't communicate to the people to speak the language, although you have a blood pedigree right. Now, that person like that can claim their blood pedigree because they're from the mother of the land. That's what's called a motherland. They're from the motherland. That's their motherland. Now, if a foreigner comes in and that's not their motherland, even though they speak the tongue of the people, they cannot question. They cannot question. They cannot challenge the validity of the blood pedigree of the man and woman from that mother country.
Now, with that being said, you know, we understand that it should not occur, but throughout a Mexican, it occurs. Yes, there are Moors that are now Moors are constantly harassed by foreign contractors, foreign nationals such as policy enforcers, you know, TSA agents when they attempt to navigate by air to other jurisdictions. Employment contractors when they attempt to place on the records their proclamation of their Moorish identity and not of the straw, the legalese that is placed upon them. So it's like when you attempt to exercise non-pro-tonk, which is now for them, there's always this harassment or pushback with their problems with the Moorish nationality cards, the land conveyance plates, as well as their proclamation to identify as their national origin as a Moor. So being a national, they are out of honor in they're out of honor when they challenge the legitimacy of your right to legitimate government and self-determination. So what is the problem with that? Because there's a problem. There's a problem. Like, beam me up, Scotty. We have a problem here.
Well, the problem started in the, you notice any time before the 15th century, there was not even the word Indian. So if people understand, Alaska Native, all these modern terminology, I'm going to deal with them first. I'm not dealing with black, Negro, color, Afro-American. I'm just going to deal with that first twist before they start using Negroes and stuff like that. You know, when you hear the word Negro, you're talking about a Moor. The Europeans, in the college, like a lab, created what you call a science and language in tongues. That was to say, we're going to go ahead and write the Moors that less more friendly and spiritual. When we do treaties with them, we're not going to write them in under their nationality. We're going to write them in under what you call race, which is racism, which you mean prejudice, harm. That means we're going to call them something that would take away that would take away their rights to inherit possession and claim the land and know who they are. So when they started this, the esquires started going to these colleges to their law. But when they come out, they writing the contracts, they writing the treaties for these crowns and the United States. However, a lot of Moors that knew that this system that they were created, the Moors was well aware of that, because that's why every treaty you see the Moors. Now let me spend some of the Deys, the Beys, the subjects of Morocco, the Sultans and his foreign minister. The reason why when the treaties are written, they written the treaties because they written them in their language. And when they written them in their language, they made sure that they wrote them on the history. They looked back, they knew who they was, and they made sure they wrote in there who they are. They preserved their possession, inheritance rights, and legacy, and legitimacy to hand it down to their descendants and their kinsmen and kinswomen. Now, the reason why the Moors are being oppressed, let me explain something. First of all, these foreigners that come here, when they go to school and university, they are not taught international law. They are not taught treaty law. They are not taught inheritance. They are not taught possession. They are not taught status, and they are not taught jurisdiction and control over what is to be controlled of, and they are not taught alienation. So being not taught that, and the Moors coming in conscious of who they are, there's a solid war going on. What you mean? They make it clear that in order to keep your job and to keep paying your bills, and they put them under what you call a form of mental drugs, socialism, where as though they're addicted to the lifestyle of fraud and trickery and deceit. When that happens, they have to create a system to denationalize the Moor and make him waive his status under nationality. Because if that, how it started is the forms that and applications that they put out does not have nowhere on it saying Moroccan and Moors. Now, hear me out. Doesn't say Israel, Arabia. They just take the people, Israel, Arabia, Moab. They don't put Moab. They just take these nationalities and they take them and put them under race. And now they follow what you call what was created in the college European labs, a fictitious, conveyed, a syntax fraudulent language. Now, once that is happening and you indoctrinate the mother handed down to her children, so do the father. Now, they start imitating and following out the instructions, not out of what? Force, but out of voluntary consent under indoctrination and apartheid genocide. And what happens is these forms are created to denationalize you because they now they start to put other on it. Now, when you write to a nationality by treaty, they try to change it. The reason why, the moment they acknowledge you as a Moor and take that agreement, they have to deal with you based on treaty and the doctrine of alienation. And they can't, if they do that, they can't use you as a surety. They can't steal your wealth. They can't steal your rights. And they can't tell you what to do.
Now, are the international nations fraud within themselves?
Well, let me explain something to you. The nations, when they create political organizations, states, they are nations. The League of Nations, she at first was called the Pan Am Union. Then you had the League of Nations. Out of the Pan Am Union came the Organization of American States and the League of Nations. The League of Nations, remember the nations, created a corporation called the United Nations, which is nothing but a political corporation where the states operate as a what? A political organization, which is legislated, which is empowered by the executive and parliament. And they send forth the ambassador who represents the nation, but in the form of a corporation. And when that happens, they sign in that power de facto policies, but at the same time, they reserve the right to treaty to be honored because that's what keeps them abiding as being a nation. Treaty relations, contract relations, government-government relationship, diplomacy, diplomatic affairs. You understand, right?
You know, because I was a little conflicted on that one because you said they are pretty much like a corporate body. So did I get that right?
The League of Nations. Look at the language. They say the League of Nations. Then they form a corporation and call it now that's the United Nations. But in the United Nations, they are down as what? Political organizations. So the state, the organization nation is creating a state to do its affairs as a corporation to protect their sovereignty. Now you understand?
Yes, I get that now. Now, when you say protect their sovereignty, now let's go back to nation, and because as a nation also, you said the people. Now the people also must have ties to the land. Now, we do recall, you know, back in the, I think that was the 1800s when all the different nations went into the continent of Africa and cut it up like a pie, a piece of pie. And they pretty much usurped the control of the various areas that they cut up. And so how is it that these international nations, if they for the protection of the nation, how is that allowed to even happen? And even with the United States and their usurpation, it just makes you wonder, how are these usurpations, colonizations, are allowed to continue to happen when they're supposed to be policing powers of nation protection?
Okay, I'm going to go to the root of this. And I hope I don't offend none of my rulers, viewers and listeners. See, when you ask me that question, I have to go back. See, you have to understand that the African kings in the East Hemisphere of Africa Asia, which is called Asia too. It's called Asia, the whole world. Now, mm-hmm. they was taking Moors in Albion and selling them in servitude through Amity, through the high seas. On the high seas, they would take a vessel full of Moors and then take the Moors down into the east side of East Africa, down there. Now, listen to me. The reason why Africa is messed up because of the Sultans signing treaties with the Albions and Mileto hybrid Moors and giving them political jurisdiction and power and authority in that part of the world.
Mm.
When that happens, the people get colonized because the emperor has the emir in his days and days go into that place and enslave them people and put them under subjection to fulfill the obligations and liabilities that they enter into through these ancient treaties. We got this way through the Moors, through the Sultans. I'm serious. Nobody wants to hear the truth. They come out and call, we Europeans, they called Africa. They was, the Europeans was granted, invited, because they were used as what? Chattel property too, and they were used for good for commerce, industry. They was giving tribute to the Sultans and the Moors, and it backfired. And now that part of Africa has suffered, not because of the Albions, because of the Moors government giving that legislative power in the empire for them to rule like that. Now, why would we have to look at Africa? We got it worse than over here. Africa mm-hmm. still got a structure and an education system that they still got power and control over. To a certain limit. We ain't got nothing. Nothing. So we can't look at that eastern side of the world until we straighten ourselves out. This complainer, look at the sorrow that happened to us, took it out of the continent and sent all over the world in servitude. Let's answer that first. We got to deal with that first. That's an in-house problem here in the Western Hemisphere among these more indigenous nations here, which is Israel, Moab, Arabia, all of a sudden, all over the world, what they call Puerto Rican, Mexicans, Hawaiian, all these, Brazil, Colombia, all these political jurisdictional zones that they got in these parts of the Moroccan Empire, where all these sovereign nations at, because the Moors gave it to them. So that's how we got like that. It got cut up. They ain't come in and conquer nothing. We get the Sultans under his control, his power, and under control of the Moors here, they call them Indians, they allowed them to come in here and start doing treaties, calling them outside their nationality status, giving them another title, and what happened was that deprived them of the land and robbed them of the inheritance, and that's able to achieve the estate. So the key to open that door, letting that happen, was the Moors. That's good. Good, Tamara.
Wow, so, you know, in a nutshell, all our skin folks is not our kin folks. You know, as of today, we continue to feel.
A house can't fall unless it be divided. A house can't fall unless it's divided. A nation can't stand unless it's divided. That's how we got that way.
And all, as of today, 2020, Christian calendar year, we still feel the hands of the gatekeepers of oppression that looks just like me and you, of a darker hue. You know, they are make sure they keep that gate locked, and they keep the people from learning and understanding the true nature of who they are.
That's
so
the key.
They
to
are
it.
The,
that's the key right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have
knowledge.
The key. They have
knowledge.
The key. Now, how
knowledge.
Do a people
knowledge
through nationality? Right, exactly.
Well,
let's get to some remedy.
Well, the remedy is this here. The remedy is structure. Coming together like a congregation and building structure. Show the rest of the world that you have the capability, that you're not a minor, you're not an infant, you're not a ward, and you're not a minority. That's first. Second thing is showing that you're able to run, to have government affairs, government-to-government relationship, and that you have a population of people that's doing, that's operating, practices, and acting based on the ancient principles of ancient government. That was pre-exist before they got here, and continue on the ceremonies festivals, rituals, and customs of them people in the form of political civics. Now, once that happened, you recognize the people recognize. Now, the next thing is they recognize themselves is to give a notice to the rest of the people that consider themselves as a nation and country and people say, hey, we're here. We are these people that on all these writings and instruments that gave treaty, amnesty, and asylum to you, here we are, descendants of kinship of these people. Now, when that happens, that's when you break the chains.
Mm. You're definitely going to do that. We're going to break all the chains. Now, how do a people through nationality reclaim and repossess their lost estate? Because, we're lost out here. You know, some people are just coming into the knowledge of just even the full knowledge, just a picture of it. It's like just a peek behind the veil and seeing the truth what it said. And one thing I do know for myself is that once you see the truth, you can't unsee it. And it takes you further down the rabbit hole and all this stuff starts being revealed unto you. So the ones that have the revelation of the information being veiled to them, how do a people through nationality reclaim and repossess the lost estate?
Well, the first thing is to know that you came from the cosmos, the heavens, which is the celestial realm, and you're the divinity from there, and that when you were sent to your mother's womb and she pushed you out, you had a charge, and you commanded to do certain things, and did certain things that was attached by through nature and culture that was attached to you, the right of necessity. Let me explain what that means. The right to defend yourself, your family, your children. The right to cultivate the land, eat off it. The right to drink the water and sell on it the fish. The right to breathe the air without. And also the right to raise your own crops and your own livestock, and the right to possess and claim the precious things that's in the earth that can make your nation a prosperous nation and industrial, and the right to congregate, to come together and decide, determine for yourself what's going to be done on my air, land, and water. Now, once that is like that, people come together like that, then the people like that can come back and claim their estates. Now, we're dealing with a time that you got to understand that you can't war because you don't have no police or nothing. And if we did get a police and Interpol, people come in based on the after Algeria's and old treaties that would they agree to be obligated and liable to help us out. They're not going to let us go to war. So what you have to do is use the science. When you use the commercial paper, you go in and purchase lost massive land as if you bought it as a what? As a war. But when you get it, you did it and have it do a deed by treaty and have a council and your grand sheik set the deal up. Now, when it comes to the estates, by being recognized and they know who you are, you go to the world body based on prior pre-existing contracts and pull them on trial and make them prove that they are the blood, lineage, DNA people at the courts already, the world court already decided, and in the Democratic court, that the tribal people own the land and the indigenous people, the aboriginal. Also, Australia and Canada Supreme Court concurred with that international opinion. Now, the reason why United States has not been silent on it, because they've been indoctrinating the people to claim a nationality or claim to be part of a race, which is to me is nothing but a deceptive, fraudulent, and deceitful way of using words so people can go ahead and name themselves that and won't be. You can't claim the inheritance and possess the estate. So in order to possess the estate, the first thing you got to do is remove the presumption and assumption of that status. And by doing that, you got to have a political structure, do government-to-government relationship, put them on trial. If they don't do it, then you got a voice to stand to stop them. And how they stop them is the sanctions. And that's what makes the people come up back when they see structure and protection and someone defending them. I hope that's the best I can answer that question, the best. And
Jew Putin's. Oh, absolutely. Earlier you mentioned about the acts of the Sultan, And this is not to provoke any type of hostility. You know, State of the Nation speaks to the people. We're going to speak to the people in truth. Now, what's your knowledge, Brother Shem, based on international jurisprudence regarding some Moors who claim themselves as emperors or sultans of Al-Morocco?
Let me say this right here. There's a known fact that if you go back to ancient jurisprudence and positive law and history, I mean, his story, our ancestors' story, there's a known fact that the sultans, remember, the sultan was claiming to be the emperor. Prophet Muhammad claimed to be a seer. That was that seer that would put an emperor in place. Now, hear me out. The sultans claimed to be the direct blood lineage of Prophet Muhammad. Let me explain something. Of Arabia. That's a blood pedigree. So the sultan was claiming a blood pedigree. Now, the reason why he was able to claim that, he was claiming it under the doctrine of a seer. Now, even when he claimed to be the sultan, he still did manifest control over all the indigenous Moors and state governments here in the Mecca, Morocco, in the Western Hemisphere, which is Africa, the Western Hemisphere. He left them freely to exercise their sovereignty. And they started into treaties, the United States, and they got used and abused. Now, no one man or woman can claim that blood pedigree in a Mexican, in a Morocco right now, in a Mexican right now, because the diminish of that empire or that throne, when it happened, is no longer existed. It exists the ultimate empire. Ottoman Empire in Turkey. They still operating on some are free administrative government and some are monarchy. Now, here, that right it goes back to the people collectively as the first sovereigns, meaning that before they was conquered, they were sovereigns.
Mm-hmm.
And now that the world has determined, and it's a new age, that you cannot rule over people like that who among themselves, the empire was dismantled. But you see what I mean? That means the head figure, the monarchy was dismantled. Then all the rights go back to the people in their different provinces, individually, collectively, to vote and self-determine for themselves. So no one person is the congregation by themselves. No one person can be call himself a sultan over the whole Moroccan Empire unless that was ordained by the cosmos and put on them by a seer to be entrusted to protect the people's rights. So you see it come back to the people now. So the rights, authority, and power always been invested in the people, not in one person, not in one house. So anybody making that claim today without self-autonomy and self-determination of the people is way out of line. I mean, this is what I'm saying. That means it's just like saying they might put a straitjacket on and go into a Barbary hospital and say they're crazy because they're not going to work. What these people went through is not going to work. I'm sorry, it's not going to work. Just be a national, protect your rights, your state, get some land, take it. Why are you going to try to be a sultan or king? You can't even stay with one woman or a queen, and you can't even marry one man. You can't even raise a house, keep a house together. This is where we're coming together, building a nation, self-determined among ourselves, and leave that one man army, one woman army out of the way. It just not work. That thing fell in quicksand and it's sunk. It ain't coming back up. Let's go to Tamara next.
Now, I know currently, you know, within the airways, you know, you have the United States political jurisdiction, their process, their political process taking place, such as voting. And a lot of people do not understand that we have a tale or two nations, because they have their nationhood through the Aboriginal people, their status. So you have a tale of two nations that's going on in New Mexico. A lot of people don't even understand that. But at this current time, you have that voting process going on that's taking place. Now, then you have the different arguments. You have the people that will argue that, oh, my people bled and died for us to vote. And then you have in the next corner saying, no, they didn't. They were just killed. That voting doesn't have anything to do with you. So balance the scales on that. Balance the scales, because you got to remember that these colonizers are the, I would say, the holders of our land. So balance the scales on the voting or not voting situation.
Well, see, we have a right, Moors, first of all, to be princes if we're born of a royal blood pedigree now. And I'm not saying a person can't be a prince, and a person could be a descendant of an empress or emperor. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that's a monarchy house you built up. If you got 30 acres, be a monarchy on your land and be your own providence. And the people that live there, they will have to accept you in that capacity as the people of a long time ago, in ancient time, have accepted men and houses and women of that high status. Now, if the people collectively said, we don't want no monarchy, we want to self-determine, the basic right is in the people itself. No one can take that away from them. Now, as far as the land, the reason why the land is somebody to hold in due course, because the state is abandoned. Nobody, the state, the nations, the land is abandoned because nobody have the mind. They have amnesia. They've been put in the middle state of indoctrination that they don't know what inheritance is, and they can't claim an inheritance because they're not in their proper person. I mean, their status means the motherland. They don't know this, the motherland, and that the land, the motherland, the rights is there. The right to survey the land based on their mother and father belongs to them. And it is an Alolian title because it's a blood title, and they have to learn it. That's why someone else has to hold the deed, because they became the guardian of the state. They guard it. They're watching and holding and managing the estate unto the heirs, kinsmanship, step up and make a claim, like the Heisman case. The man died a citizen of France, but he was an alien under alien nation living in the jurisdiction of the United States. Now, he died.
Wait a minute, Shem. I don't want you to go off basis, because I think you're all the way off basis. Because my question was about voting. Let's back up, because I don't know if you heard my question or not. So my question about, we have the tale of two nations going on. And with that being said, you know, you have the argument today regarding voting or not voting. So what is your take on the political process or the decision regarding to vote or not vote in the United States political jurisdiction?
Well, first of all, how are you going to vote if you're claiming to be a Moor? And you sign a registration form, and when you sign a registration form to vote, now what the Moors are here is, that is no difference than going down to the naturalization place and say you want to be a United States citizen. Somebody says, "Shit, oh no, what? Shouldn't you say that?" Yes, sir, I can say that, because when you go and apply for naturalization, you make a pledge, and on a pledge you agree to what? Receive benefits, protection, housing, and live on the land, and disown your country, disinvest your country, protection. Now, when you register to vote, what are you doing? You're pledging, you're voting. I mean, you're giving your what? Your energy. You agree to let this man be your representative, and you look back to ancient law of the nations. No one of the states ever came in of a political stage on the crown and became elected representative of the Moors. Now, let me tell you, they would do contract diplomacy, diplomat with the Moors, but they would not come in and vote in the Moors election. So how's a Moor going to go and vote and say, this is my representative, which is your leader or ruler?
Mm.
And when that happens, you disenacionalize yourself because there's no treaty which gives the Moor the right to vote. And the Moor have a right to do a lot of things, but there's repercussions behind it, because when he does that, there's no Moorish law or any other law allow him to be a party to a foreign government, even though they're in alliance to a treaty with them, to go over there and disobey himself and vote for them as his national representative, and then look back and say, well, I voted, he's my leader, my representative, then who are the people in your nation?
Mm.
So that's a form of just nationalizing yourself. That means you waiving your status. You're waiving to say, I have a right to make determination in my own government, now I'm going to do it over here. So look up the word registration. It means to take and bear. So they bearing your sovereignty, transfer. When somebody bears something, they walk away with it and transfer it. It becomes their possession. So now when you register to vote, you become their possession based on that registration form, which is the contract.
So they're the holder in due course.
That's why you look at etymology and say to take and bear. Now, watch this. Somebody can't tell me it's not a contract. They got to be renewed, because every so often you got to do what? Register the vote.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you got to keep registering the vote every so often? Renew your what? Pledge. Go ahead, Tamara.
Oh, wow. You know, this hour has went by really fast. Brother Shim, you always bring us what we need and what we need to continue to dig deeper into understanding. Once again, I'd like to thank you for coming back. You know, this is episode two, the first season. You know, we took a break because we had so much going on. We had the construction going on. Yeah, I know you're working on the contract law class that starts September the 19th. Every Saturday, September the 19th, let me just go ahead and pull that information up and give you a quick commercial. So it's a 12-week contract law class featuring Shim Malachi Bey as well as Abdullah El-Talib Mosey Bey as your instructors. About the course, the 12-week contract law course will provide the students with the knowledge of the divine source, which all contracts are formed before they are put in writing or expressed. Also, students will learn the Uniform Commercial Code dealing with securities, negotiable instruments, real substance, and entitlement rights. Furthermore, the students will be taught the basis of contracts through treaties, trust agreements, constitution, and bylaws. So this will definitely be worth taking. Start September the 19th to December the 12th, 2020, every Saturday from 12 noon p.m. To 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The location will be online through Zoom, as well as classroom located at care of 602 Vanderbilt Avenue, Wilmington, Delaware, political jurisdiction. Now, there's two ways you can pay for this course, full or two half payments of $150 each payment terms. You can pay through Cash App at Tamara DLEL or paypal.me/Tamara302. That is TAMARA. If you can't find me through PayPal 302, you have to look up through my telephone number of 302-438-8970. Now, with that being said, Brother Shim, I'd like to thank you once again for coming to speak to State of the Nationals. Now, don't forget to continue to tune in every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, United Republic of Morocco. Now, if you would like to donate and support the resurrection of your Moorish Empire Divan, which is United Republic of Morocco, you can provide Cash App at Tamara DL, or you can paypal.me/Tamara302. All proceeds, all, I'm going to say that again, all proceeds go to the treasury of the headquarters for construction, administrative equipment, et cetera. Right now, we do not have a salary for the building. There's no salary, so everything's in love. So all proceeds go to the building of our liberation. Now, if you'd like to be a guest on State of the Nation, you can email me at United Republic of Morocco at protonmail.com. I'm going to see if Brother Shem got some final words he would like to say to the people before he closes out for the evening. All right, Brother Shem, would you like to say some last words to the people?
Yes, Morris, listen, remember this right here. As long as you sign, fill out forms and applications and put on there, remember, when you put on there American Indian, Alaska Native, that's still a war. When you fill out a form, make sure you fill out a form and say, hey, listen, put it, say other. A lot of forms have other. You put them there or put a line there and write Morris Moroccan of Morocco pursuant to treaty. Now, I'm going to tell you what just happened. When you do that, you say, hey, listen, I need a copy, a stamped copy that I gave this to you, and I want a copy of that. Now, what happens is what they do is they go back and try to remove that and put black, Negro, Afro-American colors. So when you do that, that falls under the laws of alienation. And when you're in that jurisdiction, you're protected by a treaty, and it got to be a sheik or a council, and they can't intervene and do anything to you until they fulfill the obligation of the treaty. That's the first law. That's first standard. First in law, that's the standing. Remember that, more. Protect yourself by what you say, what you write, and what you think. And also, come together and make it happen. You can make it happen. When you're open-minded, you open, you can go ahead now and recognize who you are. Nobody can tell you who you are. Nobody can challenge you. Just do it. We'll deal with the in-house problem later. All of y'all take care. Much love, peace, contact, and honor. Love, peace.
On that note, have a good evening.
Music licensing.